I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. This is Tuesday. It's election day. And as I sit here recording this, I have no idea what has happened with the election yet. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous. I voted by mail. I didn't see a whole lot of people in line today, so I think a lot of people in Nebraska also did. But I am a little anxious, and I'm taking my CBD today to help me stay calm, collected, and, you know, head in the game. I hope you guys all had a chance to vote. I hope you're not as anxious as I am, but if you are, it just so happens that CBD is great for Election Day anxiety, as well as a lot of other types of anxiety. But we're not here to talk about that. Today, we are going to talk about CBD, but we're going to talk about the marketplace as a whole. Today, I'm talking with Connor Skelly.
My name is Connor Skelly, and I'm the marketing director at Brightfield Group.
The Brightfield Group is a marketing group that sports the most comprehensive data in CBD and cannabis out there today. They've been tracking this market pretty much since its birth, which, as you'll hear, has been pretty exciting for a guy like Connor. Now, there's still a lot to learn, but just like any other product, CBD, cannabis, is sold to people, and you gotta market to people. It's a very cool conversation about the state of the cannabis market today, dealing with COVID, the election and whatnot, and what it's going to be like next year. Here's my conversation with Connor Skelly of the Brightfield Group. We open with some discussion of 2020, the cannabis market year in review.
Zooming out, over the course of this year, this very long year.
Yeah, it has felt pretty long, hasn't it?
it's been a pretty long year. It's the same amount of days as last year, but it still seems a lot longer.
I don't know if that's true, to be quite honest, so at this point.
So what has happened to a lot of these CBD brands is they've had to significantly adjust their marketing strategy.
Right.
And their digital strategy and how they go to market. When COVID hit across much of the United States in March, these brands who were predominantly in brick and mortar saw significant declines in sales.
Yeah, just like everybody, right?
Yeah, so not just with them, but everywhere, and even online first CBD brands, they saw a hit too, as consumers and just people across the country were evaluating their budgets. Many people were getting laid off. Yeah. It was just a tough economic time for really every sector. And the ones who were able to adapt very quickly were those online first brands, the ones who had a strong D2C model in place already.
Sure.
The ones who have already been setting up strong marketing channels online, where everyone was just spending, everyone was just online even more.
Right. Right.
And so over the course of the past 6, 8, seemingly 100 months, a lot of these brands who may have had strong distribution networks able to get into brick and mortar very quickly, they are now adapting, strengthening their D2C models, trying to play catch up on their digital marketing strategies.
What? So you've been working with a lot of these brands, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You work in strategic data and insights. I'm looking at your website right now. It's a good looking site, by the way.
Thank you.
And it's coming from a guy that helps people with broken websites. So
I appreciate that.
What is the strategy when something like COVID hits? Because you would think a lot of people would think, well, you said brick and mortar stores have had trouble, but online brands, what's the problem there? They should be fine, right? I mean, they're online and CBD is the hottest thing in the world. Is it still as hot as it was? Is it just COVID that is pushing this stuff back right now? Or are there other things that are causing issues as well?
So one of the larger things in the CBD industry was price compression. So in Q1, a lot of, with the steep decline of hemp going down, you know, it's going down and down more and more. CBD brands wanted to be able to reach more consumers by doing, you know, 30, 40% price cuts across their entire portfolio. And so seeing that in Q1, a lot of people no one knew that COVID was coming. They saw significant revenue declines, even though a lot of that sales volume still remained relatively strong going into Q2. So back in July, we reforecasted our US CBD market sizes. And that was one of the biggest contributors to it, was that even though sales volume was still going strong, the CBD brands were adjusting their pricing strategies and their pricing models, and it just brought everything down.
Right. Which, good for the consumer, but scary for the actual brand, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes, you know, revenue targeting or revenue forecasting significantly harder to do.
Sure.
And it just makes it much harder. That situation, in Q2 was, it just made it significantly harder to like predict for the future.
Right.
Even like some of the top brands who were performing really well last year and early this year, they're in a tough spot.
Do you think that this is something like the price that we've seen, the declines? Because I have seen that through a lot of brands have drastically been cutting prices. Do you think that's something that stays when things start to rebound? Is this going to become the new normal? Because it does seem like, to me, just dealing with a lot of people that have questions about CBD and brands, you know, CBD brands and whatnot, it seems like the biggest entryway like blockage is price. And as price comes down, that seems to get more people buying it and checking it out and helps more people. Do you think prices stay down after this? Is this a new normal?
Yeah. Yeah. Prices should roughly stay the same. If not go lower on some of those products that are more easily available to produce, like capsules, for example.
Sure.
And like, you know, there have been a lot of brands doing big awareness grabs, you know, from a marketing standpoint, they being able to do these large awareness grabs just to get consumers in the top of your funnel, giving away free product for, you know, 30 days or whatever it is for a 30-day supply. And just a way to get those people in on a relatively low cost has been really popular.
Definitely. I'm sure.
And what we're seeing in our data is consumers are, you know, they've cared about price for a long time, right? Like price and education have been some of the top things. And what they look for in brands is trustworthiness and high quality products. And like that is now quickly becoming table stakes.
Yeah.
And so if that's the standard for a CBD brand, how else can you further differentiate yourself? And so that's where we've seen a lot of these online first brands over the last few months really try to differentiate themselves and, you know, through their marketing.
Sure. So who comes to you? Who do you work with? Like what kind of brands you're working with? Like big, huge brands, little brands, all kinds of brands? Like who is coming to you looking for this?
Yeah, all kinds. I mean, we work with many of the top CBD brands in the space, maybe with the top cannabis brands as well, ones with CBD products. And we're hearing it from all angles. Like the top brands are experiencing challenges. Surely, like, you know, prior to COVID, we were tracking 3,500 roughly CBD brands in the US alone.
Wow.
So that is, I mean, any industry like that is due for like a shakeout, right?
Of course,
like you can't have a healthy industry with that kind of saturation. So it was due for a lot of these small brands to kind of get to leave, and COVID accelerated that significantly. And so the smaller brands who were able to stick around were the ones that were often online first, the ones that were brand first, the ones that were customer first, consumer centric. They were thinking like a real company.
Sure.
Where at the end of, you know, 2019, or even just like at first when the farm bill got passed in 2018, like you just had a lot of bad actors in the space that were just trying to sell this product.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of times it was just olive oil. So that now that we're kind of over this, we're past the curve of disillusionment. We're passing sort of this like massive.
Would you say that like the bubble has burst? Would you say that? Like, I mean, just like any other marketing, it gets huge, it bubbles up. Everybody wants part of it. We're all going to get into those bad actors, those good people. And then bang, it pops. And you do shed a lot of those bad actors because they go, well, what's the point right now? You also shed, unfortunately, some really cool people who just couldn't survive. But ultimately, it does seem like it's better for the business, right?
Ultimately, yes. Right. That's ultimately overall for the industry, it does strengthen it. and this was going to happen anyways, and COVID just accelerated it, where another possible consolidation point or another sort of come to Jesus moment for this CBD industry will be when the FDA provides more guidance on specifically ingestibles, because then that will shake up the space a lot more. And they have since, you know, accelerated their guidance a bit, which is promising, especially for a lot of these large CPG companies that are holding out to make a stronger decision. But once those companies come in, they're going to be looking at brand acquisitions. They're going to be looking at doing their own product innovation. And to your point about, or to your question around, you know, what else has happened this year, like innovation did not slow down. Companies are launching new products. They never stop like that. Adding in like minor cannabinoids into products, trying to find new ways to position, thinking much more strategically about how they can get in front of different types of consumers for different need states. That really, that didn't slow down at all as a result of COVID.
So what's hot right now? Like you said, like there's all kinds of new innovation. They've been forced to innovate basically because there's so many other companies. What's hot right now? What's the new hot cannabinoid, if you will?
CBN is kind of the biggest one. It's, you know, with all these cannabinoids, the jury's still out on how conclusive the science is around all of it.
Sure, sure.
These CBD brands, you know, they've been very careful about making health claims, and that's kind of the biggest, you know, number one thing that you shouldn't do.
Right. The good ones have been very careful about it anyway. And there's plenty of bad ones that have not been very careful about it. So.
Right. And, you know, with CBN, it's being positioned for sleep more and more. It does have properties that alleged to help with insomnia and overall sleep issues. So various brands have been launching products with CBD and CBN, with CBD, CBN, and melatonin to further use those kind of functional ingredients to not only help position a product when people are, you know, they have that need state of, I need to improve my sleep, and then they go out and find that product.
Sure.
Melatonin can help with that. But now we're seeing more of products with just CBN and CBD. And so they're taking out that functional ingredient from it and now sort of strengthening the positioning of CBN as a potential sleep aid.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. I've actually talked to a few companies that are really pushing CBN. And I got to say, I really like it personally. Mm-hmm. I found a couple that work really well and I found a couple that didn't do anything. So, I mean, you got to look around.
That's how it goes, right? And kind of getting at that point around like trial, right? Like, trying out different products, brick and mortar is fantastic for that. And that's where a lot of these innovations have, they have kept launching. And I expect that a lot of those innovations will ramp up faster as brick and mortar opens back up again.
Definitely, definitely.
Because it's a great avenue to do trial packs for customers just to grab a quick thing that may be on sale for them to try out. And we're starting to see that more in the earliest channels that we saw that in during COVID was like convenience and the C-stores and gas stations.
Before we go a lot further with this, tell me a little bit about you guys, about what you do at the Brightfield Group. Like, where are you located? How do you find clients? Do they come to you? What do you guys do exactly?
So we are a... market research firm,
okay,
and consumer insights firm, and what we do is the core value of our business is our ability to implement a multi-source methodology to get as much information around emerging markets as possible. And so, with CBD and cannabis, we have been able to leverage multiple sources. So, on the research side, you know, doing the desk research, doing the modeling out for market forecasts and doing various in-depth interviews with retailers and brands and manufacturers and everyone across the supply chain, as well as a partnership network with various brands so we can understand sales a lot more. And then on the tech side, being able to do digital menu audits across retail, social listening, our consumer surveys integrated with social media, so we can better tie usage and attitudes and psychographics to and product usage to actual social media behavior. So taking all of these inputs and using a research team and a team of subject experts to look at this and be able to provide the most robust view of the industry possible.
So why strictly cannabis? You guys, I mean, you guys are obviously marketing nerds. I can tell by the way you're talking.
I can't help it. Well, this approach to research works really, really well in emerging markets when you just don't have the data elsewhere.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say. Like, this is a pretty much a baby market. I mean, we now have about, what, 5-8 good years of marketing research on this, basically? More difficult or is that easier to deal with?
What do you mean?
The fact that it's so young, is it easier because you can see it and track it from its birth, or is it more difficult because you're not looking at something like, I don't know, pork belly futures or something, right, you know, that have been around since before the Dust Bowl, you know?
It's a bit of both, right? It's extremely difficult because you don't have the traditional data that you would to track, say, general like beverage companies or beverage industries, right? Like, you don't have the Nielsen data or the Mintel or the Spins data that has been tracking this stuff in store for years. And then, you know, after a few years, they'll put it into their consumer surveys. And then you finally start to get more consumer data about that. The time hasn't happened for us to get that. So our approach to it is collecting as much data from as many sources as possible and creating a larger picture that way. And for markets like CBD and cannabis, that really is the main way that you can do it, because you're going to miss out. Like, point of sale for CBD, for example, like, a lot of it happens online, and so you're, there's a huge data gap there.
Right.
A lot of it happens in like independent pharmacies, and so like they don't have a lot of them don't have the point of sale infrastructure.
Yeah, a lot of them are dealing in cash because they don't even have credit card usage that they can work with right now. So.
Exactly. So, so that's our approach to tracking these markets. And consistently, we were the company that had originally predicted the CBD boom in 2019, and like well before the Farm Bill was passed. And it was all under the hypothesis that these large, you know, the Walgreens and the CVS's of the world, they're going to see the opportunity, they're going to want to get in, and we did see that. You know, FDA, COVID, those are big blockers to it. But our, you know, the way that we approach this stuff, it's worked really well.
So let's take best case scenario. COVID gets cleaned up. FDA goes, all right, we figured our crap out. Mm-hmm. Here's how it works. And they spell out the rules. What is the next big thing for CBD, for cannabinoids?
Well, this has been going on for a couple years, maybe even more than that. It's such a large industry, but looking at, well, first I'll look at CBD and where it's being used as and being positioned as just an ingredient that can fit into all different types of categories.
Right. Food, drink, you know, capsules,
and that's
tincture.
And that's happened, right? Like the CBD brands, they've done a very good job of creating robust product portfolios around CBD. As the category expands, it will be, and more of these larger players get into the space, ingredients companies, CPG companies, it will continue to be used as an ingredient to focus on wellness positioning,
which is a
big topic, right? Like, wellness is a huge category.
Sure.
Something like $4 trillion is the global wellness market ridiculous.
It can mean like anything, almost, it seems like.
Anything from like spas to like my Fitbit to CBD, right? And so where I see this going is these companies will begin to use CBD more and more in a wellness positioning and really targeting those need states of consumers for many companies where it makes sense for their brand under a wellness umbrella. And there's a lot that you can do with that, right? Like there's a lot of these brands moving more and more into the wellness space because there's only really so high you can go.
Right.
For like a growth potential in CBD.
Unless you want to end up like Kratom, you know, in every gas station.
You know, there's going to be, there's always companies like that, right? There's always companies that they stay in their lane, they know what they're doing, and they do it really well. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's a lot of companies out there that want to continue to grow.
So you think the growth, though, is moving into more of like a wellness lifestyle type situation as opposed to just a tincture that you take to help you sleep or a tincture that you help to take with anxiety? This becomes more lifestyle related.
Yeah, companies will start to, and not just CBD brands, right? Other companies that want to enter the space, they will begin to look at what are those other tangential products, lifestyles, services, things like that, that fit into an overall CBD consumer.
So what are you looking at? Like, what kind of things do you think? Like what? Like recovery drinks and protein?
Yeah, I mean, those are happening now for sure. Back to the point about innovation, there's been a ton of like beauty products. Like beauty and skincare has exploded this year.
Yeah.
And
which seems odd because no one can go out. We can't do anything. Why do we need to be so beautiful?
Self-care, man.
I stopped cutting my hair even. I was like, screw it.
And so we've seen like in the beverage space has been really big. Again, the growth of it is kind of artificially constrained by the FDA guidance right now. All these different kinds of positionings, focused towards recovery, focused towards energy, you know, all these kind of like aspirational need states that consumers have, CBD brands and other companies are getting better and better at starting with those need states.
Right.
And then figuring out, well, what products, how do my existing products meet those needs? And if they don't, where, you know, this will be going in the next year, 2-3 years. They'll say, well, what other products can I create? What other brands can I partner with?
Right.
To further create that experience for a customer.
That seems, and I don't know, I don't work in market research, but I do feel like I've seen a lot of these companies that are marketing to athletes or to weekend warriors. And that seems to be where a lot of this is going, like gym culture and, you know, health culture like that, where, yeah, it's just part of the deal, you know, like, You drink your special drink and you get your CBD and it helps you with your muscles and whatnot. Is that the way to go, or is that going to get played out real quick here too?
Not every brand's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of brands that, you know, they perform really well in pharmacy, right? They have
When you say in pharmacy,
positioning for their brand, what's that?
When you say they perform really well in pharmacy, how do you mean, like full on, like in a pharmacy, like Walgreens type setting?
Yeah, your Walgreens, you know, they may have, whether it's their entire product portfolio or the company has created a separate brand geared towards a pharmaceutical audience.
Okay.
There are many companies that are moving in that kind of direction where they could be channel driven. And then, so they'll create a brand, position their products differently around that specific channel and the consumer behavior on that channel.
Fair enough.
And so that's just one example. There will be a lot of brands that will continue to move more into this like wellness or active or these other kinds of positionings. It will just kind of depend on how they want to grow as a company and where those overlaps are with their current consumers and their prospective consumers.
Okay. So let's play. I'm a CBD brand and I come to you. It's been a rough year. Oh, COVID's killing me. What is the worst mistake that I made this year? Like, what is the worst possible thing that you've seen brands doing, in your opinion? I want to go the opposite side of spectrum, as opposed to like, here's what you should be doing. What's the worst trend you've seen them do?
Ignoring digital.
Really? Like altogether? Ignoring, like just saying, nah, we're just, all we are is a brick and mortar. That seems insane. Yeah. I can't believe anybody's doing that.
And this doesn't just apply to CBD. This applies to companies in general. Like there have been a lot of companies spending more money on social media and social listening tools. There have been companies that are spending more on, on market research and things like that, because that's what you do when market's down, is you need data to back it up.
Right.
The people that aren't able to quickly meet their customers to where they are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And they come to you. I'm struggling doing that. I'm having so much trouble. What do I do? What do you say to these clients that come in? They're like, I'm just screwed. I don't know. I'm screwed.
You use our data. You listen to us. CBD brand, for example, you know, comes to us and say like, we're steadily losing sales. You know, we don't have a problem getting people to come to our site, but they don't convert or things like that. Then we could help them understand who their core consumers currently are and everything about them, from how they're using those products to, you know, basic things, demographics, usage, attitudes, all that. but then also help them understand, well, how are they talking about this stuff on social? What's the context of in which they talk about these things on social? What are the different points in their journey that you can continue to educate them? Because that's very important.
Sure, sure.
Consumer education. What's the right way to educate them for your brand and the brand direction that you want to go?
There you go. Yeah. Because there's things you can tell them, but there's also a right way to tell them these things and a wrong way as well, too.
Right. And especially early on, it's just kind of like this buckshot thing where it's like, we're just going to put this out and kind of see and put it out in a bunch of different places and kind of see what happens.
Right. We'll tweet about it. We'll talk about it on Instagram, whatever, you know. But God, there's so many. Like you said, there were 3,500 that you were tracking and they're all doing that. It just seems like at first we talked a lot about extraction, and then we talked a lot about the carrier, like what kind of oil are they using or what kind of, you know, pill is it or whatever. And then we talked about specific things like, well, this product will help you sleep, or this product, like CBG is a new one that we're learning about. You know, is it that differentiation where everyone's good? Like you spoke earlier saying CBN, like seems to be popping up. Is CBG doing something similar? Is that coming up? And do you think
it definitely is?
Do you think that differentiation is because of where we're at?
What's that?
That differentiation, is this also just because of where we're at? Everyone's trying to survive right now and carve a niche?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's especially with like CBG, where the positioning on it isn't 100% defined.
Right. That seems like a really tough one right now.
It does.
We know it's a thing. You know, we just don't necessarily know what that thing totally does.
Right. And that goes with like all of them, right?
Right.
But to me, the positioning on CBG has always kind of been more wellness.
Okay.
Which like to the right consumer, there is nothing wrong with that. If you're able to position your product of like, this has enhanced wellness features or properties, you know, that'll be music to their ears and those products will perform well with those consumers. So I think that's kind of where, that's one of the areas where the industry is advancing right now and how they may have a tough time or they may not need to position their products any differently than they do now. But if they want to be more innovative in how they're positioning those products, a lot of them are using cannabinoids to do so, especially as the cost of hemp decreases.
Right.
I'm assuming and I'm guessing that over the next year, 2 years, it's going to become a very complex like brand and consumer targeting space.
Right. You start to drill down into this and decide like, and again, not making health claims, but CBG helps with X or it's really good for Y type of person. You're going to start to get into more very much directed marketing to that, whether they're athletes or they're senior citizens or they're kids with anxiety or something, you know. What do you think next year? What do you see as like, and again, we're forecasting here. No one's saying like, go bet on what he says, folks. You heard it here. You know, there's your hot tip. But like, what do you see trending up next year?
Well, with the FDA guidance likely getting figured out by middle of next year, that's going to open the floodgates.
Like food and beverage, you think, like more than anything? Or do you think it's going to maintain a larger business in the tinctures and pills and whatnot? It's like, I would think you've got companies like, there's no way Coca-Cola isn't just waiting for some FDA, you know, so they can go, boom, we put it in Gatorade, we put it in Diet Coke, we put it in this, you know? I mean, I would guess that market is... I mean, just massive. Absolutely massive.
Take that new product from Pepsi, Driftwell, right?
Oh, I don't even know what that is. No.
It's a sparkling beverage that has like calming properties in it. There's no CBD in it.
Oh.
There's no CBD. There's no hemp in that product. But that's definitely where I see these companies going.
Do you see
they're going to use their existing...
Yeah.
Like their brand prowess, their distribution prowess. They're going to use all of this to really target after those need states of consumers.
Right.
And they're going to do it significantly better than a lot of these CBD brands have. Now, a lot of those top CBD brands, they have done extremely well on it. And some of them, you know, they may be looking to be acquisition targets. They may be, want to still, you know, compete against all those big CPG companies, and they very well could.
Sure.
It will be a very brand centric space.
So do you think you said like, or next year sometime when FDA, I mean, fingers crossed, the FDA figured this out and gives us rules for this.
Fingers crossed next year happens.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, well, I'll believe it's there when we get there, friend. Okay. But as soon as these FDA rules come in and you start to see major players come in, is it going to turn into like what we see with microbrews getting famous and then getting purchased by like Coors, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, they still maintain this, you know, type of beer, whatever, but it's not really them anymore. Is that what's next for these companies? Blow up, get acquired, make your money, start a new company? That seems to be what happened in brewing. In the United States, as beer got more and more popular, microbrews got more and more popular, the idea was go get bought. That seems like the next frontier to me for a lot of these CBD, CBG, CBN companies. Get acquired. So now you're still your company, but it's your company, CBD in Gatorade, for example, or something.
You know, I think there's definitely a lot of brands that they want to be acquisition targets.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of those founders. They've put in a lot of the work for all these years, and they saw the space moving in this direction, and they want to get acquired by Pepsi. Right. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And they should absolutely make sure that they have a strong brand and a strong connection with their consumers. So then it's an easy sell to them. I think there's also a lot of these top brands like aren't going to want to give up their seat, right? They have very established relationships with consumers. Like I said earlier, trustworthy, high quality products are some of the top brand descriptors that we get from consumers. And a lot of those top brands, you know, they rank highly for those descriptors. And so when you bring in another brand, say like a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi that have strong brand affinities across a wide range of consumers, that the jury's still out on, are they going to be trustworthy on a CBD side?
Yeah. It's the exact opposite. Could turn a lot of people off that are into this sort of wellness, you know, ideal. And they look at major companies like Procter and Gamble getting involved. Like, that's scary. I'm out, you know, like not touching. Boulevard got bought by Coors, for example, Boulevard Brewery. And people a lot of people said, I'll drink something else. Thanks.
Or on that same token, it could just strengthen the relationship that those consumers have with their existing CBD brands. So, you know, over the past few months, we're starting to see brand loyalty grow a bit more, brand preference grow a little bit more across different attributes and descriptors. And there's a good amount of evidence to show that CBD consumers, they may want to stick with their current brands, even if a larger company enters the space.
It does seem like we're in a space right now with CBD where, again, we don't have a lot of government oversight. And so it can be hard to find good quality CBD. And when you do, people go, that's the one. I don't want any other one. I want that one. I'm sticking with it. And that can also be good and bad in the sense that it's like a company goes out of business. Well, what do they do? Maybe they go, well, screw it. I'm going to try something else then, because I can only trust those one guys. Is there a danger there of when this starts to get regulated? I mean, I want regulation. We need regulation. If nothing else, so we can see these people are doing it right, these people are doing it wrong. Do you see any sort of day of reckoning coming, if you will, like an Armageddon almost, that is going to shake out like a lot of these companies? And the strong are going to survive and the others will just go into the next Wild West, whatever.
I think a lot of that has already happened.
Really?
Especially with last year and COVID accelerating a lot of this, you know, big shakeout. A lot of that has already happened. And I think the top players will continue to strengthen, even though there's, you know, across different channels, like independent pharmacies or online are still like they're highly competitive.
Right.
The entire industry is highly competitive, but there are certain channels where, you know, top 10 brands could look very different.
Definitely.
In a year from now. I don't think there will be this kind of reckoning in that sense. But when these CPG companies, what these brands should be doing now is using this time before FDA guidance wisely. Like, that's been a big talking point to CBD brands that we have had.
Get ready for it.
Year. is like, use this time to your advantage.
Yeah.
Continue to build up a strong brand, continue to develop, set the foundation for long-term relationships with your customers.
Right.
Like, listen to them, meet them where they are. And you'll be well set up to effectively compete or be ready for an acquisition target.
So still a good time to get in the business. It's not as scary as we all thought, because I didn't think you were going to come in and be like, oh, doom and gloom. Oh, good Lord. But it's scary and a little more complex right now. But would you say still a pretty good time to get in the business if you're going to do it right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we're seeing a lot of bounce back from Q2, and I definitely want to acknowledge the hardship and a lot of the challenges that all brands, and especially the brick and mortar ones, have faced over the last year.
Sure.
You can't negate that.
No, of course not.
As we're progressing, into 2020 or through 2020 and into next year, economies are opening back up. And we're seeing in Q2, we saw a steep decline in new users entering the category.
Definitely. Yeah.
Compared to last year.
I'm sure.
And we're starting to see that number come back up. And those that are heavy users has been steadily decreasing since last year. Steadily increasing since last year.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, this year has been so awful that I've needed my CBD like more than ever.
Yeah. And it was, we started asking questions related to COVID to our cannabis and CBD respondents end of Q1. And the most recent data that we got showed that like 75% agreed that this helped them through the pandemic.
Definitely.
And so that usage continues, new users are coming back in, and close to 50% of respondents are saying that they're starting to purchase their CBD in store again.
That's great.
Yeah. And
that's,
so like,
that's really
great. What's also interesting is, yes, they're starting to purchase in store again. But we saw it was something like roughly like 20-22%, I think, in Q1 purchased online. It more than doubled to Q2.
I would guess.
People purchasing online, and that's continued to stay strong. So that's going to keep being it's going to continue to be a strong channel for brands.
Awesome. Hey, this has been fantastic. And it's not something I really get to talk about. Usually we're talking about processes, or we're talking about quality, or we're talking about this cool cloth that could replace cotton someday. Who knows? And it's really interesting to talk about this from a market perspective, because I mean, you wouldn't think about it so much because it is CBD and it seems like this separate thing and it's still new whatever, but you have to market it just like anything else. Mm-hmm. And you're selling it to people. And people are going through a tough time right now, and that means it's going to be a tough financial time for all kinds of markets and whatnot. Huge thanks to Connor for coming on the show and giving me a chance to have a conversation that I haven't really had. It's amazing that marketing firms really are paying attention to this market, because it is huge. And while it has been struggling, it was really nice to hear somebody like Connor, who is deeply entrenched in this, with such a positive outlook for what comes next and for companies that are doing it well. And not to mention the fact that he seems to think the FDA is going to figure it out sometime next year, which would be good news for everyone involved. Well, that about brings us to the end of another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. I'll have links to the Brightfield group in the show notes. And speaking of show notes, we here at the Ministry of Hemp believe that an accessible world is a better world for everybody. So you will find a full written transcript of this show in the notes as well. Next week, I promise, we're going to get to that show about Delta 8 THC. I finally have locked down an expert, and I'm super excited to talk to him. Not just that, I am going to take Delta 8 THC and let you know about my experience right here on the show. If you're looking for more hemp news and information right now, head over to ministryofhemp.com, where we have a Delta 8 fact sheet you can check out to prepare for the episode I keep telling you is coming. Sorry about that. And we have a brand new Ministry of Hemp verified seal that we are giving to cool brands that we've reviewed and researched and talked about. So if you see that seal, the Ministry of Hemp verified seal, it's green, it's really cool. You got to check it out. You know, we've done the hard work for you. And this is a brand that you can trust. We wanted to do something to help you, the consumer, make good choices with your money while we're waiting for FDA regulation. It's a cool stamp, and I even suggested we make t-shirts of it, so let me know what you think. If you want to help support hemp education and spreading the word of hemp education, head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. It gets you access to all kinds of cool stuff, like this week's podcast extra, where I am talking to Connor about how a marketing guy ends up working in cannabis. It's a fun little conversation. And you get so many other things too, like early access to articles and extras that we don't even put on the site. Not to mention the fact, in doing so, you are directly helping us spread the word, keep the site alive, and keep this show going. Please head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become an insider today. Well, that about does it for me. I'm about to go huddle in front of the television all night and, hope for good news in the election results. We'll see. Either way, we'll be back here next week, and we'll deal with it one way or another. I promise. You're not alone, and the good news is there's things like CBD to help you with your anxiety if you need it. For now, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others. I hope you voted because it's your patriotic duty to do so, and I hope you made a good decision. This is Matt Baum in the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.